This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Michael K. Show, everybody. Iona had a tough fight against Alabama, hung in there for about 30 minutes, the final 10 minutes. Alabama pulled away, but Iona has nothing to hang its head about. A 15th seed, and certainly gave a number two seed a bit of a scare. And we're lucky enough to be joined by the head coach of Iona, Rick Pitino, here on the show. Rick, Michael, Don, and Peter, how you doing?
I'm great, guys. Just sort of coming down, decompressing a little bit, and back at it tonight with some player development sessions.
Now, you are certainly a guy, you're used to winning championships. Do you look at what happened over the weekend as a moral victory because you hung against a number two seed?
You know, we actually thought we could beat Alabama. We had a lot of time to prepare. We thought we could take away the three-point shot. We thought we could slow down the pace of the game. The only thing that was a big surprise and a letdown for us is the way they dominated us on the backboard. I think they beat us 42-26. My very talented center didn't have a great rebounding night. And that was the only surprise in the game. We thought we would play him tough. And with about 7-8 minutes to go in the game, we thought we could win it. But they did some things that really overpowered us.
Do you buy into this being something they can learn from for the guys coming back and be better for this experience?
Yes. You know, we knew we were going to play a much tougher schedule next year. Coming out of the tour, different COVID pauses, we didn't have as much seasoning as we should have had. But next year we're going to play in the Garden twice against Seton Hall and BYU. We're going to play in the Barclays Center. We're going to play down in the Disney Classic, and Alabama and Kansas will both be in that tournament. Hoping to play a part of a doubleheader in Las Vegas, possibly play New Mexico. So we're going to make the non-conference schedule very difficult, and this was a good learning experience for us.
Now, because of the two pauses of COVID, one was 51 days, one of the hallmarks of your team...
It was four pauses.
Four pauses. So yeah. One of the hallmarks of a Rick Pitino team is you guys are always in better shape than the other team. You could 94 feet of hell. Did you feel that your team was in the shape it would have been if you had the ability to work with them every single day?
Well, we didn't press as much as I would like because coming out of four different pauses, we were constantly getting back in shape, and we didn't teach as many different multiple defenses except for man-to-man. And we became a very good man-to-man defensive team. So next year we'll have the whole spring, summer, and fall to work on our multiple defenses. We're hoping to take a foreign trip. If we can raise the money for that, we're hoping that we can take a foreign trip possibly to play in Greece against some professional teams in August, which will enable us to practice and get ready for that as well.
How was the experience overall, considering it was a bubble and COVID and all that?
You know, it was difficult, but, you know, we all had, just our society in general had such a, I always say this, I told my guys every pause, do not hang your head. 500,000 plus people have passed away without funerals. And this is just basketball. This is just a delay in basketball. So do not hang your heads. And they did not. They were very resilient. They were very tough-minded, got through it. And we won our tournament playing four games in 5 days. That was even a bigger surprise to me than playing Alabama tough. I didn't think we were in the condition to play four games in 5 nights and come through that. So I was very proud of them.
You know, watching the tournament, there's a lot of quote-unquote upsets. And I'm just wondering, Rick, could the committee not have had any idea how good teams were because of all the pauses and things like that? So you look at a seed that was a 10th seed. Maybe they shouldn't have been a 10th seed. Maybe they should have been better. Did they not have a real grip on what was going on?
Well, I don't think they knew about Abilene Christian. Christian kept playing certain teams over and over and over. They didn't know how good they were. I don't think they knew how good the Pac, what do they call them, the West Coast now? Pac-10 or Pac-12? I'm not sure what they call Pac-12. You know, I don't think they knew about Oregon or Oregon State, how good they were. So, you know, I don't think there was as much data to go by. Certainly, if you look at Loyola Chicago, the number one defensive team in the country, it didn't take a genius to figure out that these may not be upsets. Although Illinois, everybody had them as a penciled them in for Final Four. I didn't early. I think even on your show, I didn't have them as high as some of the other people had because they have what's called a 7-second offense where they shoot in 7 seconds. And against a team like Loyola Chicago, that won't work as well. So it's they may not have the data they've had in the past, but March Madness is not the NBA. It's one game, one night. One team is off, the other team is on, and it's Katie by the door.
Coach, how did you feel about the no contest with VCU Oregon?
You know, it was disappointing for VCU, obviously, but it's something that's part of everything we're going through right now. It's the fact that we're having as you know, I was professing May Madness and let's get everybody vaccinated and play in May, but I think TV contracts are such that they couldn't do that. We're getting through it. There'll be a champion, and hopefully next year we can get back to normal.
All right, so who are you rooting for now? Syracuse because of Boeheim? And although he's very, you know, he plays his cards close to the vest, having his son help lead him to the Sweet 16, that must be an unbelievable feeling for this guy.
Oh, no question. I spoke to the Syracuse team right before I went to Greece 2 years ago, and Buddy was a freshman. I said, Jim, he's going to be a terrific player someday, and I know for Jim, who doesn't show his emotions very much except with his close friends, this means an awful lot to him. And Buddy is very close with Jim and obviously his mom. And this is a special way to go out coaching-wise, to finish your coaching career, coaching your son. So I'm really, really happy for him. This team is playing at a very high level right now. Now, the next game is going to be very, very tough, but they're playing at an ultra-high level offensively. The zone is bothering teams right now, and it should get interesting from this point. Once you get to the Sweet 16, I think the upsets are over, so to speak. If there are some high seeds that or low seeds that move on, they're legit. So it'll be interesting. I think Abilene Christian tonight will play my ex-assistant Mick Cronin very tough, and UCLA's playing at a high level. So it's getting interesting right now.
Why does Boeheim always stick with the zone and most college coaches don't? I mean, he refuses to get out of the zone for the most part.
Well, it's his staple. Roy, he learned under Roy Danforth. When I was with him, we actually played 50% man-to-man. That's why he brought me in. But that's his staple. He believes in it. He believes it's good for transition defense. He believes in it and keeping people out of foul trouble. He's gotten by where he only had to play seven people. He doesn't have to play his bench as much because he stays out of foul trouble. It's his staple. It's what he believes in. And obviously, he's done it great for so many years.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
No, it's crazy whether it's you, whether it's Boeheim, whether it's Coach K. You guys have been at it for so long. Is it overrated how much the game changes, or is it like underrated how much you have to adjust year to year?
I think you adjust to your players more than your style. You know, the players are different today than they were in 1987 when I was coaching Providence. You have to listen more. There's more people on the periphery in their lives than any time before. So you understand that. But as far as work ethic, that's one and the same. The players still have to put in the same amount of work to become a great basketball player. And whether it's Kentucky, Louisville, Iona, you have to be totally committed to the game to improve. And, you know, I think guys like Jim and Mike and people our age, Izzo and so on, down the road, we haven't lost our passion for the game or for teaching. I think once you lose your passion for it, it's time, whether you're 50, 60, or 70, it's time to get out.
Talking with Rick Pitino here on the Michael K. Show. We had on Adam Silver last week, and Yeah, I like the three-point shot, Rick, but I think it's almost like I'm gorging on it now. It's like 73, 83 three-pointers in the NBA. And I said, would you move it back? He said, well, we kind of like the way it is. And I kind of think it takes away from the beauty of basketball. You've coached on both sides, pros and college. Do you think the three-point shot has to be moved out in both?
No, I don't think it. I think the basketball is cyclical. You know, with Bobby Knight was running his motion passing game, everybody started going to motion offense in the passing game. Anytime people have success, now the Alabama team has just a layup, getting fouled or a three-point shot is their system, and people will emulate that because anything that's successful, people emulate. I think what we're used to, you know, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar cutting off the low post and having low post offense and cuts off the low post is still very, very advantageous and good for the game. I think it will make a comeback in the game. I think right now the three-point shot, which I've been an advocate for years, is an important part of the game, but it shouldn't be the only part of the game. There is a necessity for low post cuts. That's why I enjoyed the EuroLeague so much. The EuroLeague has a lot of cutting off the low post. They still work inside to out for a three-point shot. Like Alabama, when we played them, they literally have five people on the perimeter most of the game. Mm-hmm. Five people standing on the perimeter, and they attack you that way. Highly successful for them. But the NBA should not be just three-point shooting. It will make a comeback with centers. You know, how would Kareem play in today's game would be fascinating. You're not going to obviously shoot three-pointers if you have a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, it's weird, though. Porzingis doesn't ever go on the load block, and all he does is, you know, is try to hit three-pointers. Before I let you go, covering baseball all these years, a lot of managers that lose in the playoffs, they say they don't watch the World Series, they don't watch the rest of the playoffs, they can't take it. Will you watch the rest? Will you watch the Final Four?
I watch every single game played. Earlier today I watched Iowa just get blown out by Oregon, and I watch every game on TV. Not only to pick something up, but just I'm a basketball junkie, and I love the game. I watch as many pro games, especially the Knicks. I'm a Knicks fan, and I watch as many Knicks games as possible. It was a heartbreaking loss to the Sixers last night.
Was that a foul or not?
Yes, it was a foul. Now, at the NBA level, do you call that at that point in the game? That's debatable. It was definitely a foul.
Right.
But
right.
Do you call that at that juncture of the game to change the game? And that's the question that everybody would have. But he definitely got pushed in the back. I didn't think it was exactly a killer hit. But that's the point that you debate. Do you call that at that point in the game?
So you'll be watching and you'll be locked in, popcorn in front of you, and just going to town watching basketball.
Yeah, I March Madness is something that I just absolutely love. You know, it's there's no rhyme or reason to a lot of it in certain games, but you see teams get on a run. I picked Gonzaga to go undefeated but I think Gonzaga could lose to Baylor. I don't think they will. If they're the final two teams, I think they're the two best teams in basketball. But I think Gonzaga is the best offensive defensive team in the nation. I thought that from day one.
Well, we've loved having you on, Rick. Yeah. You have a permanent invitation. Whenever you want to come on, we'd love to have you on, and you know, enjoy watching Final Four the rest of the way.
Well, right now I'm an unemployed coach, so anytime you want me, I'll be here.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Thanks, Rick.
All right,
thanks,
guys. Take care.
All right, that's Rick Pitino of the Iona Gales, and I thought they acquitted themselves pretty well against a pretty good Alabama team, Don. And you know, 68-53, as he mentioned, they got just destroyed on the boards, 46-26, and you know, for 30 minutes they hung in, and then the final, 10 minutes, I have it written down here, they were outscored 28-13. I just think the physical superiority of Alabama took over.
Well, not being able to get those rebounds late, as he said, because he thought they had a chance to win the game, but everything had to go right. It didn't, but hopefully it's a learning experience. And as he said, they're going to have a lot of tests next year, play at the Garden, play at the Barclays Center, maybe go out to Europe, and now the expectations will be higher next season.
Absolutely. He's building something there in Iona. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not going to be cool with just losing, you know, in the first round of the NCAA. You know, he's got a plan. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. Anyway, when we get back, we don't want to go anywhere else. ENN. Yeah. It's going to be finish up an awesome show. He's been working on it constantly. So ENN coming up in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.